The title of this very concise short talk is One Life to Live. And the purpose of this short talk is to understand the purpose of our existence and to understand that while we still alive, we are capable of making mark and leaving it behind for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at the beginning of mankind or the history of mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qal in the Quran stated, with qala rabbuka lil malaikati inni ja'il fil ardi khalifa. قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون. Now at that particular stage, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the angels and he told them that he would create a khalifa, a person or a race or individual, or group of people who will inherit this earth. And not only inherit this earth, they would be in charge of the affairs of this earth. But because of the malaika, their prior knowledge of things that happen on this planet, they posed a question and they asked, قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاء وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. They analyzed the situation and they said, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, are you going to appoint a being, a human being, who will cause fasad fil ard, who will cause destruction, who will spread mischief on the earth? And we as the angels, we glorify you day and night. And if you compare the nature of angels to the nature of human beings, you will see they are completely different in every aspect. We desire things, they don't desire anything. We eat and we drink and we sleep and we get tired. None of that is applicable to the angels. But at the same time, Allah did not appoint them to be the Khalifa on the earth. But He said that you and I would be Khulafa of the earth. قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Indeed, I know that which you do not know. He knew something that the Malaika did not know about. And that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testified. From that particular day until the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, we would be khulafa on this earth, especially the believers, especially the mu'mineen. They would be the one who would inherit this earth, and generation after generation after generation, they will maintain this earth. Therefore, some of us are khulafa, others are weight, are nothing but weight on this earth. Therefore, when I say one life to live, I want every single person who's sitting here to try to live their lives, to try to live their lives as though they are the one who are Khalifa. They are the one who are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed them to be the Khulafa. You will see in your life, in your daily life, people who are dead, and you will hear about them as though they are alive. And you will see others who are alive, but they are dead. Now, which one do you want to be? Do you want to be among those people who are alive but dead? Or you want to be among those people who are dead but alive? Every single member, every single khatib, every single da'iyah, every single alim, every single caller to Allah will mention the name of Imam al-Bukhari, will quote a hadith from al-Bukhari, a sahih al-Bukhari, will teach the biography of Imam al-Bukhari. Now this man,
He is alive. But you and I, our names are not mentioned as much as that name is mentioned. You will see other people who you will meet them every single day, who you may see them every single moment or hour of your life. But at the same time, the moment that they die, their name will be forgotten. Have you ever witnessed a deceased? I mean, because the person did not leave anything behind, and because he did not do anything for this deen, his name will be forgotten by the moment that the soul leaves the body. What do we say? When someone dies, we don't say, let's bury Brother Saeed. Let us pray on Brother Saeed. Let us wash Brother Saeed. Let us do this. No, we always say, let us take care of the deceased. Let us take care about the marhum. Why? See, because I did not leave anything behind. And because of that, my name will be forgotten from the moment the soul leaves the body. But on the other hand, Imam al-Bukhari will live until the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Imam al-Bukhari, his name, will remain until the end of time. As long as there's a Muslim, Muwahhid min Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, his name will remain. So which one do you want to be? You want to be someone who will be forgotten? Or you want to be someone who will live almost forever? Look at the wife of Fir'aun, Asiya bint Muzahim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he addressed the Sahaba. And he said, كُمِّنَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ الْكَثِيرِ. He said, so many men were perfect. وَلَمْ يَكْمُنْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا أَرْبَعَ. But only four women were perfect. And he mentioned the name of Asiya bint Muzahim. She will live until the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. And Allah stated in the Quran that this woman requested from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a special request. And imagine the life of this woman, the life of that particular lady. Imagine she had everything that a human being can ask for. Anything that she desires, it was there for her. Her husband was the man who said, وَمَا أُرِيكُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَرَى وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. And this man, he was so arrogant that he even said to his subjects, to the people, his followers, he used to say, وَمَا أُرِيكُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَرَى. I would not direct you to anything other than what I see it correct. And he used to brag about what Allah has blessed him with. And he used to say, وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارِ. And these rivers, they flow under my palace, under my authority. And he used to say, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. I am your Lord the Most High. No one in the history of mankind ever claimed that he is Lord, but this man. Now if this lady, if she was a gold digger, if she was a person who wants to enjoy this life, live the glimpse of this life, be part of this dunya and faniya, then she would say, he is my man, he is my husband, this is the man that I'm going to be under, this is the man that I will follow. But she was the first person to oppose him and say, you are nothing but a human being. And Fir'aun tortured her so much that he knelt her on against the wall. And she used, رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِ مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِي وَنَجِّنِ مِنْ قَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. She used to ask Allah to protect her from Fir'aun. But the ulama said, her request was so unique. She did not say, Ya Allah, I am aiming for paradise. Ya Allah, give me al-Jannah. Ya Allah, give me a house in paradise. But she said, I will work on the neighbor. I will be more concerned about the neighbor than about paradise. And that's why she said, رَبِّ بِنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. قال العلماء, she asked about the neighbor before the house. She said, I want to be your neighbor. Means, I want to be close to you. Because, ya ikhwati fillah, the Jannah that Allah prepared for shuhada, for the salihin, for the anbiya, is Jannah al-Firdaws al-A'la. لذلك يقول زين العابد اعمل لدار البقاء رضوان خازنها الجار أحمد والرحمن ناشيها أرض لها ذهب والمسك طينتها والزعفران حشيش نابت فيها. Now the person, Allah يقول, work for akhirah, for a place that the designer, the builder of that place is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the neighbor is Ahmad bin Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But look, her name will remain until the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Because she lived for Allah. She lived for the sake of Allah. Look at this man, a Sahabi, whose name was never mentioned before al-Islam. He had no status among the people in his locality. Nobody gave any attention to him. Nobody respected him because he was a slave. Not only slave, he was slave from Abyssinia. Bilal bin Rabah radiyallahu anhu. The man that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to see him almost every single time. And every time Rasulullah is concerned about something, he used to tap him and say, Ya Bilal, arihna biha. Ya Bilal, comfort us with the salah. Bilal bin Rabah radiyallahu anhu. Rasulullah said, we did not eat anything for the longest time except what under the armpit of Imam bin Bilal bin Rabah hides for us. Bilal is the man that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say, I heard your footsteps in Jannah. What do you do, Ya Bilal? But how did he came to this point? How did he, what allowed him to achieve that status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's because of what he did. It's because how he lived his life. Remember the moment that he received a shahada. The moment that he became a Muslim, and we'll talk about this maybe some other time. That moment his life changed. And from that moment he decided to live his life for Allah. You know, a lot of people don't understand and really comprehend this lifestyle that Bilal lived. See, what Bilal did is this. He was not really torturing himself, but he was torturing the people who was torturing him. You know, this physical body and the pain that you feel is only service. But the actual pain is the pain that the people feel in their heart. See, ya ikhwan, a person may be a fit in everything and everywhere. He may have money, he may be a healthy person, but the next day you will realize or you will hear that this man committed suicide. Why? Because he was really in pain here, not here. And Bilal bin Rabah was able to go through skin and live the beauty of Islam in his heart, which manifested in his life, and was able to cover the pain that he was feeling. And as a matter of fact, every time he says Ahad and Ahad, that was a bullet in the hearts of the people who were torturing him. It's completely different ball game. It's completely different style, different response, different way of seeing things. And this is what we need to do. We're living in a life of temptation. We're living a life of distraction. We're living a life of that is inviting to ma'asiyah, disobedience to Allah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And believers should always try to overcome. My point is, brothers and sisters, that Bilal bin Rabah radiyallahu was able to overcome that and live a life of a righteous man. And when he lived that life, his name remained forever. Again, the question I would ask myself and I would ask you is, what have you done, what have I done to live forever? What did you do? Or what can I do? See, for most of you who are sitting here, you have better chance than anyone who is sitting here. Why? Because you're young. And when you're young, you can have better chance than anyone else. See, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said 7 categories of people will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of these categories is a young person who was raised under the banners of Islam. You lived, washab, young man who was raised in an Islam. See, these young guys who are sitting here, you don't know anything but masjid. We may not have that opportunity. And you're going to be under the shadow of Allah. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. That particular day when the weather is so hot, you could be under the shade of Allah if you only hold on to the ni'mah of an Islam, to the deen of Islam. And see, a lot of you, your hasanat, your reward is more than anyone who's living in a Muslim country. When I was young, I lived in Saudi, for example. If I do anything haram, the closest person would smack me and would drag me to my house. Or he will report to my parents. The adhan was everywhere. If you don't pray, if you don't attend any classes, if you don't go to halaqat, you would still learn basics of Islam. You don't have that here. But you struggle and you come out and you sit in the masajid and you sit in the halaqat and you learn about Islam. That itself is achievement. So you will probably receive more reward than us when we were your age. So now, you're ahead of us. All you need to do is stay consistent in that. Keep improving. And one thing that I need to tell you, and you need to know, anyone who says, I will maintain my level of iman in a certain level, then that person is fooled by the devil, by the shaitan. Because your iman either will go down or increase. The moment that you say, I got it, I have it, it's right here, I'll keep it, this cap, then you should know you will go down. Imagine this. You're sitting on this chair, and you are wrapped by chain, and you get up with force, and you break free from this, and this is a shaitan. And then you stand up and you say, now I'm free from shaitan. But what you don't realize is, if you stay and remain in the same place, shaitan will catch up with you. So what do you need to do? You need to keep improving yourself. You need to keep moving up. The moment that you say, I'm satisfied with this, you're done. I give you an example. Fard is the last thing the shaitan would ask you to do, to leave. Shaitan will never come to you and say, leave and abandon the farai. But he will say to you, don't worry about the sunnah. Or don't worry about the nawafil. And then when he conquers the nawafil, then he goes after the sunnah. When he conquers the sunnah, then he will go after the fard. And the moment that you realize that you're praying 5 daily prayers, dry salah, then you should know shaitan is targeting your fard. So, number one, if you want to be able to remain like this, I mean to remain alive forever, do the following steps. Learn ilm and spread, number one. Number two, if your father leave a righteous child, if you're a child, pray for your parents. Indeed, if you pray for your parents, your child will pray for you. But if you abandon your parents, your child will abandon you. I guarantee you that. This is the sunnah. This is sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third thing that you do is do everything for the sake of Allah and leave it behind and do it secretly, then you will be able to achieve this.
The brother is asking, and he's saying, what if what you have is little, but you want to spread it, what you have, but you're afraid that you don't know much. I think that's the nutshell. Now, what comes to da'wah, there are certain people who are specialized to give da'wah. And I would like to remind all of the brothers and sisters that the worst weapon against da'wah is jahl. It's ignorant. If you don't know much, then you only spread what you know and what you're certain about. In Sahih al-Bukhari, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, balligu anni walau aya. Balligu, he said, convey from al-Islam, even if the thing that you're conveying is only ayah, one ayah. But it means you convey this message to your people, to that ayah, and you're certain about the knowledge of the ayah. In this regard, the time that you give a da'wah is when you have no one else to give da'wah other than yourself, if you don't know enough. Two, you only give and explain what you know only. Three, you avoid debate. I mean, you should not debate with a kafir or mubtadi' if you don't have enough knowledge. Because the moment that you try to defend an Islam and you yourself ignorant about Islam, then that will become something that will work against Islam. Because ulama rahimah kama qala Ibn Uthaymeen and others, he said, if you're ignorant and you debate with a person, he said, both cases you are sinner. If you win this debate, you are sinner. And if you lose, you are sinner. If you lose, you allow the people around you to think that Islam is weak and it cannot defend itself. And if you win, you are lucky, but you went to an area which is not your area, therefore you both case you sin. So a person should only call people based on what he's certain about. If you know what you know is not enough, then your job is to direct these people to people who have ilm, and they will take care of that bi'idnihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the final. If you have no questions, inshallah.